And welcome to Real Nurse Stories. Today, I'm interviewing Wes. Wes is a registered nurse who's working in an emergency department, and he's currently working in the resus area. He works in Logan in Brisbane, Australia. Hi, Wes, and welcome to the show this morning.
Hi, Eva. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, Wes. You're very welcome. So we're going to talk a little bit about your journey into nursing this morning. So if I can just start right at the beginning of your journey, and maybe if you would like to share just kind of how you got into nursing.
Yeah, definitely. So it's kind of an interesting story. I initially started my uni degree in business, focusing on marketing and human resources. And unfortunately, at the time, the only course available to me was 3 years of accounting, and then your fourth year was an elective year where you got to specialize in those areas. And 2 years in, I realized I hated numbers and it was not for me. so that was very interesting. And at the time, I was working in a radiology clinic, and one of the guys there said, "Why don't you become a radiographer?" Which I kind of looked at, was very interested in, and thought, yeah, sure, why not, give it a go, and went to apply for the course, but realized that the score to get into the course was higher than that of doing medicine as an undergraduate. So I was told that a good way most people do it is they go into a health science or a nursing degree, and then after a semester transfer across. I thought, well, okay, well, my grades allowed me to apply for nursing, and I got into nursing, and after the first semester I realized that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I did.
So it was more by accident than by planning, really.
Oh, it was a major accident, but an accident that I've grown to love.
Yeah, well, that's great. What was it that kind of, when you started your nursing, what was it that made you think, oh, this is really what I want to do?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it was just learning about everything. And I've always been more science inclined. And it was very fascinating to learn the basic anatomy. And then we got into the medications. And I just think I was hooked from that. And then getting to learn how caring for a patient is more than just blood pressure and pain medication. And it's sitting and listening to them. And I feel like I generally am a good listener. And yeah, just from that moment on, it was kind of something that I just wanted to do.
And tell me about how your training. How did you? What was your training like?
training was interesting. I lived in Adelaide. So I have a bit of an accent. I'm from South Africa originally, but immigrated to Australia, and then we moved to Adelaide, and I started my degree there. And halfway through second year, life happens, and I split up with my partner then, and wasn't sure what was going on. So deferred for a year, moved to Brisbane, deferred for a second year, and then restarted again from the very beginning. So kind of it's been 5 years of nursing instead of the normal three.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been very interesting.
So you qualified as a nurse, and then went into graduate program?
Yes. So that happens. So graduated at the end of 2018, and unfortunately wasn't very successful in getting a graduate position off the bat like most students do. And then I'm a big user of the LinkedIn app. So Tracy Churchill, who at the time was the NUM of Logan, had connected with me. So I had previously, as a student, had a placement there and got a recommendation for some of the things I was doing there. So I emailed her asking if I could have a chat or pick her brain about what she looks for in hiring people or nurses and how I could one day possibly come work there. So she set up a meeting, and I turned up. I treated it as an interview, even though it was an informal chat. And she said graduate positions were filled, unfortunately, but see how we could go, possibly have an interview, maybe do some backfill for any maternity leave or something like that. And I was like very excited by that, because trying to get into the nursing profession as a student is very hard. You don't have your 12 months basic knowledge, and not a lot of people invest in students unless you've done your graduate. And then she, sent me an email saying I have an interview time, turned up, and turned out it was for a graduate position because they gained extra funding. So I was very lucky in that sense. I got it in a non-normal way through the graduate portal they do here in Australia.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. It was one of the biggest cohort intakes they had. It was 21 graduate nurses for that year for 2019. Gosh. So.
Because it's very challenging. I know certainly here in Perth, Western Australia, there are always more grads than there are grad places. And I know that it's a real source of anxiety, really, when you've completed your training and then there's this mad scrabble to get a grad place. Mm. And just an observation from, because I coach for the Australian College of Nursing and I do some work with students who are looking for grad places. And one of the things that I've noticed is they don't always seem to have access to the right information and support. So things like their CVs, exactly what you've just described, really. So who to connect with, how to really increase your chances of success, I think is a common problem. And I just wonder whether that was your experience, whether you felt prepared for what you needed to do as a grad.
Well, I'm conflicted on that subject a little bit. So uni prepares you to a point, I feel. Mm-hmm. I feel they do the best they do, but there is a big thing where they accept everyone in. I remember as I was graduating, the first years coming on, there were about 500 first years or something, and that's for one institute, one campus alone. I think we've got several different unis that offer nursing. And it's right, they don't offer, you get told your graduate portal opens at this stage, you need to fill out the application, do your CV, get your recommendations, get your reference lists all sorted, but no one really shows you the template, the format, what they're looking for. And that's kind of, you are scrambling to speak to nurses you're on placement with, or if you know someone who works with resumes or outsourcing those skills kind of thing. And then also connecting with people and asking them what they're actually looking for. Interview prepping is a big thing as well. I don't think it's very, a lot of education is given to students who are going for their graduate interview. And I do a number of different articles of different experiences I've had throughout my grad year, and I usually say to any students I'm working with, there's usually a flow of how interviews work, especially for graduate interviews. And if you follow that formula, you're generally going to do yourself well. Mm. But I don't think there's a lot of information out there or support out there without you having to go and seek it offered to students, especially who are kind of like, okay, you didn't get the first round offer and now you're effectively waiting another year for the new graduate portal to open. You're competing with a new set of people on top of the people who also didn't get it the previous year.
It's certainly a challenge, I think, to actually get a place. Yes. And I think that's generally across all the states in Australia. I just want to come back to something that you talked about there about how you use LinkedIn to connect. And I know that Tracy and Emma Vasoulis are both kind of being very proactive on LinkedIn in that space around asking questions, about why nurses don't use LinkedIn so much. And just want to explore that a little bit more from your perspective, because you mentioned how you made those connections and that enabled you to get a grad place. But kind of your experience of LinkedIn, what do you predominantly use LinkedIn for?
So I, being the youth that I am, am on all platforms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever. But LinkedIn is different in a sense from your Facebook and your Instagram. And I find that, one, it offers you an opportunity to connect with people in the same field you want to work in. You may not necessarily be working in that yet. I was an AIN before I became a nurse. So for me, it was good to connect with other nurses, kind of pick their brain, especially if they worked in that area that I was kind of interested in going into work for. And then it also, in a sense, you get, it's a two-part thing. So I guess you get to connect with people in areas you want to go in, as I previously said. But going back to my situation, it was good to have a direct line with a NUM who, it wasn't an email you had to get off of someone as a student. It wasn't, you kind of had been able to look at their profile, they can look at your profile and kind of connect on a somewhat personal level without it being an informal level. Sorry, I should probably say that.
Yeah.
Connect on an informal level and be able to have that chat where you're not feeling like you're taking up their time, you're not an inconvenience, and you're asking questions that you would either to be afraid or wouldn't have time to ask when you're on placement. Mm. And then you have to try and find time of either going back to the placement or trying to find this person's email through other forms. It becomes tedious. Mm. I think LinkedIn offers that good connection to get that sorted very quickly.
And why do you think it is that perhaps there is some or are some reservations from nurses in using LinkedIn? Because certainly my experience of talking to nurses, and I do talk with a lot, you know, Facebook, Instagram, not so much Twitter, that depends on the person, but there's not many nurses, certainly in my kind of immediate circle that I know, use LinkedIn. And I just wonder why that is, because there are benefits, as you've described there, of connecting with the right person, especially if you don't have, you know, a name or somebody who can introduce you. It's a really good way of doing that. But I just wonder.
Definitely. I think it comes down to our profession in itself. We are always taught that patient confidentiality is the foremost thing on our list. And I guess the profession itself, it's not like working in an office or a more business-like model. With nursing, you are kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? You kind of need to be sensitive of what you're sharing or what you're discussing. And I feel like sometimes some people just don't know or don't have the energy to put it out there as a generic form without breaching some form of confidentiality or thinking that they're breaching a form of confidentiality. I feel like that's probably what stopped a lot of people from talking about some things and or explain situations. So that's the other thing I love about LinkedIn, is you can put up a post about asking advice or tips and tricks or for something that you've come across in a professional manner, but there is a fine line between breaching confidentiality
and that's a really important point, because we're all bound by, you know, our code of conduct and registration, and those are really important issues. And I think what you said about, you know, it is possible to do, but you have to be mindful of being careful of those things. So perhaps that is a reason why. But conversely, I've also known, you know, Facebook, people tend to forget about Facebook being out in the big wide world. So, yes. You know, there are caveats for all social media for nurses, I think. So in terms of you're working in emergency, was that something that you kind of knew very early on you wanted to work in, or how did you end up working in emergency?
So it actually happened at Logan, funny enough, that's where I ended up. But on my second placement, I was offered a placement at Logan Emergency as a student, and I had an amazing facilitator who really got me to think for myself about what I was doing and why I was doing it. And then emergency itself offers a thrill, effectively. So it is a very adrenaline junkie type environment, and there is a lot going on. And I find you either are interested in emergency or not, and that's completely fine. It's up to the person. But I do love the thrill that comes with it. But effectively, as a student, we were told we'll never go into resus, we'll never see the inside of resus, don't even think about it. And I think it was like the last 2 days before my placement ended, I was invited into a resus and was able to assist in the resus, and I got a recommendation from that. And after that moment, I realized this is definitely where I wanted to be.
Because it's quite a challenging job, isn't it? I've done a couple of interviews with nurses who work in emergency, and it's kind of, you never know what's going to come through the door. And that was the sense I got from previous interviews. But that, I think you either love it or you don't, and clearly you do, you know, that's,
yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, because rhesus is quite, it's quite a challenge on a personal level for that reason that you never know what's going to come through the door. How do you manage that in terms of your own well-being and work-life balance? Because you must see some pretty traumatic events, really.
Well, definitely. I mean, that's what rhesus is.
Yeah.
But we are, I will say this, we are very well supported by both our education team and our senior nurses when we have something traumatic coming through. You're never left alone in that area. That's the one benefit of being in rhesus, is you have a specific team working with you closely on anything you're doing. And we do a debrief after anything, after basically any intubation or any traumatic episode that we have that comes through. We do a big debrief with everyone who was involved, from AINs all the way through to the senior consultants and anyone else in between, the radiographers and all that, just to unpack what happened, get a bit of information, because sometimes you walk into a situation, you don't have all the information, you're just doing the task you need to do to help that situation out. So it's good to come together at the end, discuss how we went about that situation, what we could have improved, what we did well, and if there was anyone who had any reservations or any concerns, that they were in a safe space to speak up about it. And I think that really helps, because you know that you're not dealing with the situation as nursing, you would know, you walk into one room, you have to do something, it could be quite upsetting, and then you have to put on a smile and walk into the next room so no one's really catching on. But it's good to have that debrief at the end that really kind of puts you at ease and allows you to say what you want to say in a safe environment, to know that you have that support to follow up with after as well.
And how do you kind of manage personally some of those difficult situations? I know that you described there the debrief, but what kind of routines or practices do you use to kind of look after you when you work in that kind of an environment?
A lot of wine. the occasional wine does help. I'm a gamer, effectively. I play a lot of online gaming. So for me, that's a way of kind of switching off. And then I find gym helps a lot. So just being active in that sense definitely helps. But there are, I guess there's different ways about going about it. Like I said, we joke about having a wine, but anyone in the healthcare profession is definitely someone who likes to have a bit of a drink every now and then. But also talking about it can help, especially your partner or your friends may not understand something, but you have your close work friends, someone who works in the industry, who will understand what's going through. You might catch up for a coffee and just be like, I need to unload this or unpack this. And it's good to talk about in that sense as well.
Yeah, that's true, because sometimes you can't always take those things home. It's for lots of reasons. It's not always, you know, and I'm sure people get fed up of us talking about it, for one, when you're married, you know, your partner's a nurse and so it's something that interests me, really, in terms of, you know, nursing is a really demanding job, and physically and mentally demanding, and I think shift work into that, you know, and the difficulties of how do you build in regular time to almost counteract some of those stresses and strains is another challenge in terms of shift work, and how you go about that.
Well, I have a regular, I'm a horror fan, horror movie fan. I've got a friend, Mandy, who she also loves horror movies. So we generally take, she works in theater. So it usually takes about a month to 2 months to plan one night that we can get our rosters to link up, that we both have the same day off and the same following day off. And it, but those it's good because it's something you look forward to. It's, I know it's something that when we catch up, it's a debrief we're going to have both from both sides. So we're unloading what we, if we are having anything that we've got concerns about or feelings about. Mm-hmm. And I find that really helps. In other senses, though, you're right, shift work, you miss out on social events, family events, and you have to adjust those things with it. But I also say it's not something new. We were told from the first year of nursing as a student that this will be part of our life, and you understand that as well. So you kind of make it work how you have to.
What's the most difficult part for you being a nurse working in emergency? I know we've talked around shift work and kind of having family and friends who are supportive, but what would you say is the most difficult part?
Shift work is definitely up there, but it's probably when you've had a really bad day, and it's not that anyone who doesn't work in healthcare won't understand, but it's like talking to a friend who works in the office and their issue for the day is someone hasn't put through an account properly, or they've got to chase someone for that. And you're like, okay, in contrast, that is nothing to compare to the fact that you've witnessed someone have a miscarriage and it was their first pregnancy or something on that level. And obviously everyone has their own bad days and their own levels of it. But I think that can sometimes be the worst part of it, is not being able to unload that or unpack that with someone who doesn't get it.
Yeah. It's good to be able to have those opportunities to be able to do that, isn't it? And then when you don't. Yeah. And I think that's also very person dependent. I think some people, you sound like you've got kind of a really good system for support and through your networks, not everybody kind of does. And that's where the vulnerabilities lie in terms of how resilient or not someone is to be able to deal with that. I think having the awareness of how you do that is really important. Yeah.
Definitely it is. I would agree to that, yeah.
Yeah. So do you think you'll always work in ED, Wes?
The million-dollar question. I would love to always work in ED, but as you would know, the nursing profession isn't just a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
I love ED. I love the idea of ED and what it has to offer. I do, however, love the idea of expanding my skill set and knowledge to either work in a more trauma setting, a higher trauma setting, or like retrievals, which is still a critical care based area.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm just trying to get through resus and go from there. Yeah.
Well, that's a good aspiration to have, I think. There's lots of opportunity there, certainly.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you share with me a challenging time in your career, Wes, and what you learnt as a result of that challenge?
Obviously being ED, there's many challenges. The biggest one, I think, is personalities. Most people may jump to a patient situation or a scenario based, but I think some of the challenging situations that I've come across is clashing personalities within emergency, because it is a fast paced, pressure induced situation. Yeah. Sometimes you're never going to always have rainbows and butterflies working with everyone. And I think some of the biggest challenges is navigating around people who communicate differently to you or don't understand how to communicate what they need in an effective manner without coming across as an attack. And that for me can be one of the most challenging things, because they could just be stressed and dealing with something else, having a million things going on, and then they've asked you to do something, but in a manner and a tone that you've taken personally as an attack, and then it becomes that awkward situation between two people. So I think that for me has been an interesting situation. I haven't come across many, thankfully. But those times that I have come across it, it's a good way to step back and just be like, okay, hang on, what do you actually mean? Can you explain this a little bit more? And go from there. I think communication is the biggest aspect in emergency that can make or break a situation, especially working in resource.
I think that's so true. And it certainly in a pressured environment, which emergency is, you know, stress and pressure can, as we know, make people react sometimes in ways that they wouldn't normally react. And it's that exactly what you've described there, the ability to be able to just almost step back and think about it from the perspective of what's going on for this person here at the moment that's causing that reaction, I think is a skill when you're under pressure yourself, but it just takes the heat out of that, maybe taking something personally. So yeah, that's a good example, I think, in terms of, and I guess that comes with experience as well, doesn't it? And the more you work in that environment, the more you learn and hone those skills, because you see people who do it well and you learn from people who don't do it well. You kind of think, mental note, not to do it that way.
I definitely. Like I said, my background before becoming a nurse was AIN, and before that I worked in children's theatre. Yeah. And I was lucky enough to be moved up quickly with working through red blankets and organ retrievals and ECMO transfers and stuff. So you get to learn how to communicate because you are working with such a small knit team. And communication is definitely key in any situation, but it definitely can make or break that situation. And if you remove that personal element from it when someone's communicating something to you, I definitely feel that situation can be bettered.
I want to go back to something, Wes, that you mentioned at the beginning about you consciously changed direction in your career. And I know that proportionately nursing is still very much a gendered profession in terms of more women than men. And I'm really interested to know, kind of from your perspective, when you changed direction, kind of what were the thoughts and views of your former colleagues or your people in your immediate circle when you told them that you were going to go into nursing?
I think, well, like I said, at the time I was working at a radiology clinic, and it's kind of funny because yes, nursing is a more female dominant profession, but where I was working, I found that a lot of radiographers tended to be men, which was also very interesting. It that was more male than female, but in sonography it was more female and male, so it was very funny to have those different modalities. But I, from a work perspective, there was no one really who said anything at all. From family, I'm the first nurse in my family. So I'm not a generational family of nurses or anything like that. So it was very interesting to see. It was very supported by my family, which was great. But I don't think there was any issues or any concerns or any thoughts that I was going into a woman's role or anything like that. It was actually no. Yeah, I never experienced that, I must say.
I'm curious to know, because I know there's a lot of work, for instance, the Australian College of Nursing has done a lot of work promoting men in nursing and, you know, thinking about what kind of needs to change to encourage more men to take up nurse training. Because the fact that historically nursing has been very gendered and largely female doesn't mean that that has to be how it carries on in the future, but just kind of thinking from your perspective, what might need to change to encourage more men to take up nursing as a career, do you think?
I think it is changing currently. I think the current climate there, I'm seeing a lot more male student nurses coming through on placements. I think it's maybe the perception. I do remember while being on placement, and still to this day, I will walk into a patient's room and start my exams and talking to them, and without if I don't introduce myself as the nurse, if I just introduce myself, they automatically assume I'm the doctor.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to see that, because when I am working closely with a female doctor, but she doesn't introduce herself as the doctor, they automatically assume she's the nurse and I'm the doctor. So it's very interesting to see the perspective of people, how they gender stereotype automatically. I must be a man, so I must be the doctor. And the lady who's the doctor must be the nurse, which I find very interesting. And I'm very quick to be like, no, I'm
not
a doctor. But I think it's, I know it's definitely changing. I do know there's more males going into nursing. Mm. But it is also very interesting to see the perspective of the public or the patient's perception of gender stereotyping in our workplace. Mm.
It's fascinating because it tells such a story, doesn't it, about that whole perception and how the public view those roles. And I think, personally think, some of what the nursing profession needs to do is to kind of be more out there and talk about the different roles in nursing and break down some of those stereotypical views, because it has changed enormously. And I often wonder whether the whole COVID situation will change some of those perspectives as well, because nurses have been very much at the forefront. And, you know, I think that in itself has portrayed a whole different level of nursing, which makes me wonder whether that will help to change some of those views. I don't know. Time will tell, I guess.
I think I have to agree with you. I think it's so. I think it's also shown that nursing and healthcare is not necessarily a guaranteed job, but a guaranteed. So I think the situation showed that working in healthcare, in a sense, is almost like a guaranteed job or a source of a way of providing. Because currently, at the moment, with the amount of job losses going on, with business shutting down, the one constant in this entire pandemic is the fact that healthcare is definitely going strong still. Mm. And we definitely need more people in it as well.
Definitely. That's not going to go away anytime soon, I don't think, is it? Knowing what you know, Wes, about your journey and the struggles that you've talked about in terms of securing a graduate place, what advice would you give to someone who's just literally setting out on their career, who's maybe just qualified? What advice would you give them?
Well, this is a bit of a shameless plug, so I apologize. I've done a number of different articles, one my experience as a graduate nurse, and one of preparing to become a graduate nurse. So when you're going through the graduate application, so if we're talking of terms of prepping yourself for the graduate application, I've done like 5 tips basically. I'll briefly go over them, of like doing your homework, going back to basics, being okay to say you don't know, and knowing your limitations effectively. Because we have this, as students, you put pressure on yourself to be, you need to be the best. When you go for an interview, you think that the panel are going to be like, you need to be able to know everything and do everything. But realistically, and this is something I feel uni kind of switches on us, is that they're not looking for a hero. They're not looking for someone who can take everything on by themselves, because realistically in the workforce, we're never by ourselves. We work in a team. So if you can't spot a deteriorating patient, you can't escalate those concerns, you can't communicate that, that's more of a risk to your patient and your workplace than it is to everything else. So my advice from a student going to grad is those things exactly, knowing your basics, knowing when someone's deteriorating and when you need to ask for help. But if we switch it for someone who's in their graduate year, who maybe doesn't, who like myself, doesn't come from a family of nurses and healthcare professionals, I think my advice to them is it's going to be a stressful year. Your graduate year, I think, is one of the most stressful times because you're adjusting to working for once without, you've still got study going on, but you're working a lot, you're learning a lot, especially depending where you are, is that taking the time for yourself to allow yourself to keep job and life separate effectively, to be able to go to work, do your job, come home and still enjoy the time that you have and not stressing about what you're doing tomorrow, what you've still got to do. Mm. I think that is the best way of managing your graduate year, I found personally.
That's really good advice because I think so many nurses who are coming to the end of their training really stress about the whole grad process. And I think you're so right because it's almost the pressure to perform and convince people that you know what you're doing when actually, fundamentally, when you're being interviewed, the big question is this person going to practice safely? Do they know the limitations and know how to escalate? And those are the really important things that, you know, if you don't know about that, and it's common sense and you talk to people and they can tell you that, but in an interview setting, it's almost like I have to convince this person that I know all these things. Yeah. I do think it's extremely hard for grads to, in a very competitive environment, to be able to pitch it at that level that's going to get you over the line. And I think the articles that you've written, Wes, are really, really helpful. I know I've shared one with a couple of my students who, you know, they come to me asking me these questions. How do I do this? How do I write? What, you know, and I feel for them because I think there needs to be more of that. And anything that we can do in that space that can help people to kind of get into that right space and be prepared, I think is the word I'm looking for how to approach the interview, how to approach your CV is just something that I don't think is focused on enough. And it's almost when we're almost setting them up to fail really by not addressing that is that's just my personal thoughts. I think it's,
I have to agree with you. I remember in my final year of uni, there was a subject that was effectively tailored to the graduate process. But instead of allowing or educating us on how to set up a resume and set up a CV and do the graduate portal, it was more of critiquing other people's resume, a standard resume of like, oh, was this, so I feel like if it was switched to me, like submit your resume and let's work through it together in class or something like that to build that portfolio. Mm. I feel like that would set students up better than giving them the idea of you have the set date, you've got a month to get everything in and good luck effectively.
And I also don't think we learn or take some of the key messages from other industries, you know, the business world and how they kind of view CVs. I think we haven't moved along there and it's a skill to be able to condense all your experience into a CV. And I think when you're just starting out, it's even the roles that you've had before you were a nurse bring value to where you are. And, you know, anything that you've done that's a voluntary experience, all of that is the sum total of the person you are when you're applying. And again, you know, we don't talk about how that can be used in a helpful way. So I think the articles that you share on LinkedIn are really, really helpful for grads, Wes. And I think certainly I'll be pointing a few of my students to your posts because I just think that's great and we need more of that. We definitely need more of that. One of the last questions that I want to ask you, Wes, and I know that you're very kind of young in your career, so to speak, but what would you most like to be remembered for in your career as a nurse?
For me, I think I think I'd like to be remembered as someone who was always there to help effectively. I recently did a interview for another podcast group, PodMed, who were looking at leadership. So I definitely don't consider myself to be a leader, especially so young in my career. But the people who I view to be leaders, or I see them to be future leaders, are people who are approachable and who you can go to for help without feeling like you're going to be judged or criticized. And I would want to feel that at the end of my career, if we were to do a this is your life situation, I would very much feel honored if that was the perception that I left behind, that I was someone that was approachable, that they could come to for help and was there to offer the help or at least put them in a direction to get help if I wasn't able to do it. At the end of the day, I think that would for me be enough.
And that's kind of growing the next generation, isn't it? It's about imparting what you've learnt and supporting someone else on their journey to become a great nurse. And I think that's a fabulous kind of way to want to be remembered, actually. I think, you know, that's really good. That's really good. It's been lovely to interview you, Wes, today, and I'm thankful for the time that, because I know so many nurses are really, really busy at the moment, and I think it's good to get so many different perspectives from nurses working in different environments. I want to just be able to give you a bit of a plug now for your LinkedIn articles. So if anybody listening to this podcast wants to find you and your articles, can you just share with me now how they do that?
So thank you very much, firstly, for the
opportunity. That's all right.
So if you were on LinkedIn, you could just search me, Wesley Woodbourne, Woodborne. My profile is public. I've got a number of different articles there, from experiences of being a grad, tips and tricks for graduate nurses. I'm currently working on two different articles at the moment, which hopefully will be published in the next month. But yeah, if you also, any students who are listening to this, if you have any questions or concerns or just want some advice, I'm more than happy to help anyone who comes my way effectively.
Well, that's great, Wes. And thanks very much for being interviewed today. It's been great to talk to you, and a fascinating journey into nursing.
Thank you very much.